Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Journey Home Outreach Ministries online radio shows. This is the edition of Clarifying Your Life with Associate Pastor Kimberly Horvath, and I can't wait to see what the Spirit has talked to her about. But quickly, let me go over the schedule for the month. On the 16th of June will be DJ Frankie Vive's House of Inspiration show. But there will be something different. He's actually going to be bringing in the Word before his show. And so please tune in to hear what God has talked to him about. And then on the 30th of June, the youth will be taking over the studio and the Y4C show will be aired. And I will be airing this Friday, Flashback Friday, that's tomorrow, June the 12th. So let's bring Minister Horvath on the phone. Hello, Kimberly.
Well, hello there. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Yeah,
great.
This month flies by so fast. It seems like
I can't believe that it's already the 11th.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be over before we know it. We're going to be in summer.
Exactly. And we're halfway through the year already. Wow.
I know. It's crazy.
Oh.
But we are. We talked about that just, a couple of shows ago. And we were at the end of the quarter, and we were talking about that. And we were talking about how we would soon be at the half of the year. And we are at the half of the year. It's here now.
Yeah. It's here now. It's upon us. So I'm going to give you the floor and let the Holy Spirit speak through you. And I can't wait to hear what you have to say.
Well, I am so very excited, as I normally am, but I have to tell you that this is a word that is hot off the presses. I'm talking about, I just sat down and got this word an hour ago. So this is fresh, new, in season,
wow,
in the moment. So for those of you who are listening, you are going to be so excited that you're listening. It is right on time that this is, the halfway mark. What God is talking about today, I have to say that it is going to really help you break through. You know how, when you're trying to lose weight and you get to that last, 5 or 10 pounds, and you're just, stuck. You're, at that plateau. You just can't get past it. And, the Spirit of God, in talking to me, is saying that, a lot of his people are right there. They're at that plateau mark where, there's a series of things that they've done, and they've done well, and they can do them over and over and over and over again. But they need to just push past this next place so that they can really receive the newness of all that he has in store. And, that is a wonderful thing because it lets you know that God's word is true, that he has a plan and a purpose for us, that plan and purpose is always going to be good, that he's always thinking good thoughts towards us. He's looking to expand us, grow us, to always keep us safe and to be sure that we have all the things that we need so that we can be productive in the body. He wants a productive, functioning body. And, it's very difficult to attract people to the word if you're broken down. Nobody wants to buy a car that's broken down. You're not attracted to that. But when you see that beautiful, nice, new, shiny car being driven on the road where you can't even hear it, when it's sitting at that stoplight.
Right.
Where everything
right.
is just beautiful and lush and plush, and you can smell that new car smell even when the windows are rolled up. You know what I'm saying? That
right.
is what causes people to look. And that's how God wants us to be. He wants us to be beautiful, bright, shiny, and attractive to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we are losing our ability to be attractive, not because we go through, because the word tells us that we will go through. We're going to see some difficult times, but it's how we go through. There's a lot of how we go through. And then there are things that we go through that we no longer have to go through. So the Spirit of the Lord is talking today about how to get moved forward. Many people have been, we talked before about people not really making it with their goals, but there are a lot of people who are making it with their goals, but now they've gotten to this area where they're stuck, where they need a little push,
yes.
where they're having a little bit of a struggle. So that is what today's word is all about. And I'm gonna be moving probably kind of fast. I know I tend to.
Okay.
But I have a lot
okay.
to fit in because these are, you know, the title of this teaching is 10 things that cause us to stumble. All right?
All right.
10 things that cause us to stumble. And before I actually get into those things, I want to talk about why study this. Because the first thing I said when the Lord told me this today, I said, okay, so why study this? So here's what he said. The enemy seeks to devour those of us that are in the kingdom. And he will use any device, and he will do it swiftly. And any time that we feel that we have gotten over with something, any time that we feel that we've gotten away with it somehow, we have to realize that we have done nothing other than simply encountered the grace and the mercy of God.
Yes.
There's the first thing that I want people to think about. You know, we think, you know, oh, we got over on this, or oh, we got, you know, got past that. And, you know, I know that many people are encountering the grace message. And that's
mm-hmm.
a good thing, because the truth is that God's word is a word of grace and a word of
right.
mercy. But there are many people that are opposed to that grace message because they feel that if we all believe that we are always going to be encountering God's grace, then what would be the reason why people would live right? I mean, people would just be living wrong because they know they can get over. And I say we need to look at it from the opposite perspective. The truth is that when you are a person that truly deserves to not have grace, and I mean
mm-hmm.
you know that you deserve not to have it, when you receive it, you become so grateful that that causes you to straighten up.
Absolutely.
You see,
absolutely.
People who have encountered grace, but it doesn't move them to even be aware that they're doing wrong. These are not people that have an understanding that they have received grace just yet.
Okay.
And so when we're looking
mm-hmm.
and we're judging them, we're judging wrong. We're drawing an opinion the wrong way. These people do not understand that they've encountered grace. They just think that they got by.
Right.
And there is a very big difference. There's a very big difference. Here is what the Spirit also said. He says, you know, let's talk about God's viewpoint. We must remember that God looks not only from up high and down low into our situation, but his point of view is from the end of all of the creation of earth.
Right.
And his point of view is from the end of time itself. Understand that God lives in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he's looking at things, what he has done for us is he's carved out this piece that we call time. And we live in time. But God is looking not only from up high down low, but he's looking from the end of time, when time no longer exists.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
So his viewpoint is eternity, and as a result, he that we will never see or understand.
Hey,
he
hey.
Also sees things not only from a mere human perspective, but from the spiritual plane. Therefore, he sees how every word that we say and every action we create connects with the next word or action, be it our own or that of another human spirit. What does that mean? That means that everything that we say has life. Our words have life. And everything that we do has life. It's an action. And so everything that we say and that we do gives life or birth to something else. And whether we see it or not doesn't matter. God sees it. Our words give life, our actions give life, and not only just to us, but our actions and our words give life to something in other people. And God sees that connection. Therefore, there are times when we will walk into God's grace and mercy, and we think that it's for us, but it's not for our own sake. It's actually for the sake of someone else. Be they people who are here now or people who have yet to be born.
Mm-hmm.
We need to understand that. So what is the Spirit of God saying? The Spirit of God is saying, there is a divine connection between us and all living things. We are human,
yeah.
We are human beings, but we are really spiritual beings that are living a human being experience.
Right.
Okay? So as a result, our words and our actions have spiritual connotations. And so they
right.
cause things that have a chain reaction in the spirit. And so sometimes some things that we might say might be a hindrance to someone who is either here with us in the spirit or about to be born. And therefore, God says, no, I need to cancel that. And I'm not doing it because of you. Yes, I love you, and I want to have mercy and grace and all that for you. But I also love this one over here or this one that's about to be. And because of them, for their sake, I'm going to stop this thing from happening. And I'm going to give you some scripture on that right now. When you look at the story of Lot, and Abraham says, when God was going to, burn up Sodom and Gomorrah and all the people in it because it was so wicked. And Abraham says,
right.
listen, if there was just one that was holy, just one, would you save it? And it started at all these numbers of people, and finally he got down to one. And God said, yes, even for the one, I'll save it.
Right.
Right? The Bible also talks in the New Testament about the sheep, that if there are is just one sheep out of the 99 that has gone astray, that the shepherd goes in search of that one, because we are all
right.
that precious. And so every spirit that is being born, every baby that is being born is a human spirit now, but a spirit
right.
that exists with God now, and he loves them. And he will not allow our words to conform in a way that will hinder them when they're here. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing?
Absolutely.
So that says that when we are born, we know already and understand, because, again, remember, we are existing in eternity with God. And he says, before you were born, when you were just in your mother's womb, I knew you. I knew you.
Mm-hmm.
So we were already in existence. See, our spirit, when we go back to where we came. We go back into eternity with God. Our spirit existed with God before. So we came here
right.
already knowing the condition of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
But we came here anyway because we also knew that we could handle it.
Right. Amen.
If nothing else gives you joy, gives you strength, gives you the ability to know you can make it, you can do it, this will not get you down, that very fact should help you out. You knew that very situation that you're going through right now, you knew it before you came here. But you came anyway because you knew God already had an answer to your situation. It was
right,
not going
right.
to defeat you. It was not going to cancel out your assignment. It was not going to stop you from doing that thing that you were called to do in this world. You knew you were going to have it, but you know what? Praise God, you knew that you'd be able to get it done anyway. And so you said, you know what? None of that matters. I may be sick,
right.
broke, broken, disgusted, frustrated, depressed, out of my mind. I might be going through any situation with a job, without a job, with people I love, without people I love, whatever your situation, you knew you would have it, and you knew that you would have what it takes not only to handle it, but to get through it and get to the other side.
Amen. Amen.
There is nothing in this world that will hinder you from getting to the other side except you yourself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I want people to really grasp that, because that is so rich and it's so good and it speaks to the goodness of the God that we serve. All right, where am I now? So therefore, wow, our words and our actions, what's that?
He has you on the roll. Go ahead.
Yes. Oh, my God. So our words and our actions have an eternal connection as well as a human connection. And our words have power to take what is in the eternal and deposit that thing right here into our human experience.
Mm-hmm.
Some say that we call them into existence. Some say that we attract them. But I'm going to tell you what I say. I say, and God says, that we are made in his image, the image of
right.
our Father, who speaks, and then truth becomes. All right? And
mm-hmm.
his words cannot return void. And therefore, they cause the universe to expand and make room for what we're preparing for. I want you to understand what the Spirit of God is saying in that. It says there are some people in the world that say that we call things into existence. All right? Okay, fine. And then there are some
right.
people that say that we attract things into our existence. But God says, no, you are made in my image. And if you look at the Genesis of the Bible, Genesis 1 and 1, from the very beginning, it says in the beginning, right, that God
right.
spoke and things began to happen. Things began to move. Things began to change. Things began to exist. And that very same power is the Spirit that dwells within us. Therefore, when we speak, just like when God speaks, the universe expands. And the universe causes that thing that we are speaking to come to pass, be it positive or negative. All I have to say
yeah.
is thank God for time. Because
yes.
in Genesis, when God was speaking, he was in eternity and speaking into the world. And that's why things just began to happen. But we're in time speaking into the world. Therefore, it takes
mm-hmm.
longer for things to come to pass. All
right?
Right. So the
right.
word in Genesis says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void and dark. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then you see all the things that God said, and then it came to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, and it came to pass. And God said,
yes.
and it came to pass. And then when you drop down, it tells you about how God created us. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And it talks
Amen.
About how the earth, my God, this is so heavy right here. This is so heavy
yeah, but
right
we
here.
Got it. Real food.
He said in verse 26, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion. And it began to talk about all these things. And it says, so God created man in his own image. In the
mm-hmm.
in the image of God, he created he him.
Right.
Male
yeah.
and female
mm-hmm.
created he them.
Yeah.
And God
yes.
blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the
yes.
sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. All right? Now,
yes.
I also want to go a few verses up. Hold on just a moment. Because it tells the story of how God created us, not once, twice.
Twice. I knew you.
Amen. Twice.
Yeah, amen.
Hold
yeah.
on a second.
And now we
Go
just
ahead.
Wanted to say that there's a difference between having dominion over something than controlling it.
Ooh,
you know.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
we're here, we're helpers. It puts you in a servant position to
yes.
have that kind of responsibility. You're not in
yes.
control of it where you get to decide what happens.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. When you look at that word, hold on, let me go back over there. It talks about how God said he created man, he blessed them. He said replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over those kind of things. I can't find anyway because I don't want to lose our time. But it talks,
right.
but it is about the fact that we, you know, having dominion is like having being caretakers. It's just like, you know, mm-hmm. you care for your cats, your dogs, your fish, your turtles, all that other kind of
yeah.
stuff. You know, it's the same thing that, you know, to have
right.
to have care and
mm-hmm.
concern, which means that you put, you know, you're in a servant position. You know, I have, you know, I have a Maltese. Her name is Gina. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I always
Yay,
tell
Gina.
People that having a dog is like having a permanent two-year-old in your house. They
yeah.
never get any older than that. They're never
no.
able to feed themselves. They're never able to get
uh-huh.
their own water. They're never able,
right.
you know, well, rarely are they able to open a door, depending upon the kind of door, and go outside
uh-huh.
and so that they can relieve themselves. You know, they can't
no.
comb themselves. Like, they can't do anything for themselves. Like, they can do something,
no.
but truly being able to take care of themselves, no. They need our help.
No.
They need our help.
Yes.
So in chapter 2 of Genesis, and it says in verse 7, this is another telling of how God created man. And it says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The very breath of God, his breath,
yes.
is what caused us to become a living soul. And after
yes.
he did that with man, that very first man, that Adam, we just
mm-hmm.
began to continue to multiply over and over and over again. That's Gina in the background because her daddy
yeah,
home.
She's yes, hallelujah. That's she's saying
Frankie,
her amen.
Frankie Vibe is home, so she's barking at her daddy.
Oh,
but, you know,
I miss Gina. Go ahead.
But we have dominion, you know, over these things. But, you know, we very breath of God in us.
Yes.
And
yes.
the thing about when we recreated, when we were recreated, when we procreate, we don't get a watered-down version of the spirit within us.
Mm-mm.
We get the same
yes.
powerful presence that Adam had. It's just like your DNA is your DNA, and it is just as rich and as strong and as good today as it was in your family line 100 years ago, 200 years
yes.
ago, 1,000 years ago. That same DNA, it's the same DNA that still exists in you.
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful.
Absolutely. That is
That's
very
powerful.
Powerful.
So understand that the presence of God that is in you is the same presence of God that existed in Jesus, the same presence of God that existed in the
wow.
apostles, the same presence
wow.
of God that existed in all the people of the Bible, the same presence of God that existed in Adam, the same
mm-hmm.
presence of God. Not only
wow.
that, but understand that once you receive Christ, on top of that, that he comes and actually takes up life and lives inside you.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the spirit that you were born with that is of him. And then Jesus himself, the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God, taking up residence in you, no longer walking with you, but being inside you. You are way more powerful than you know. And your words
right.
cannot return void.
No.
They can't.
No.
They have to come back. And so, with that, the key question after understanding all of this is, what are you expecting? Because whatever you're expecting is what you're thinking about. And that is
yes.
what you begin to act on and concentrate on. And those are the things that begin to become active in your life. So if you look at your situation, your circumstances, I'm not saying that everything that every person has gone through or goes through is because of them. That's not what I'm saying. But there
no.
are a lot of
no.
situations that you deal with that you know in your mind, you thought about them and you said, you know what, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, it happens. Right?
It happens. Exactly.
Sometimes that's
exactly.
good and sometimes it's not. But it's because it is the thing that you drew to yourself because you spoke it into existence. And you spoke it and you believed it, kind, and that belief finally connected and boom, you pulled it right out of eternity into your life.
Wow.
Now,
yes.
How do we get to pull more things out of eternity into our life? Because the eternity I'm talking about is the one with God, the one where all the good stuff is. How
right.
do we keep ourselves focused and stop stumbling so that we can remain focused on the things of God and call those things to existence in our lives? That's what we're about
Amen.
To talk about. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Let's go.
So one last thing it says. So there are times when we struggle. It is because we stumble. And be it because of our faith or our belief or our expectation or simply a lack of understanding, it causes us to stumble, all those things. So the first
okay.
thing, okay, the first thing that causes us to stumble is that we do not put a demand on God. We
Ooh.
Ask, but we do not behave as if we expect.
Yes. It's
right?
okay to do that. It's okay to
it's
do
really
that.
Okay. It's really okay.
Yeah.
It's really okay.
People need to
you know,
hear
I think
it.
A lot of people might feel that we're being irreverent. I'm not talking about irreverency. I'm not talking about not having respect for God. You know, God says that he wants us to ask and come boldly. And that,
mm-hmm,
you know, he
mm-hmm.
didn't say come timidly and quietly. I don't really know where we get that idea from, maybe because they
yeah.
talk about Christ being so humble. But listen,
mm-hmm.
Christ was humble in that he could have done a whole lot of different things when he was being pulled from court to court to court, all right, and
mm-hmm.
being accused of things. He could have behaved differently when they were beating him. He could have behaved differently when he was hung on that cross, but he didn't. He took it, and he took it for us. That's humility.
Yeah.
Humility is when you know that you could be up higher, doing something different, behaving differently, but you choose to take a different road, not say anything at all, and to just humble
right.
yourself and be more meek. That's not what God told you to do. God told you, when it comes to him, knowing and understanding what your needs are, don't sit there and say, well, God knows what I need. No. He said, come boldly. Come boldly and tell me. Remind me
yes,
of my
right.
word. Ask me. Show me
yes.
in my word where
ask
I said that you can have this. Put me in remembrance mm-hmm. of my word because my word mm-hmm. will not come back void. That's what he said.
Amen.
So when
That's
you
what he meant.
Have a desire for something, all right, when you have a desire for something, it is necessary, please understand, necessary for you to go out and take a look at this Bible, put yourself in alignment with God's word and say, listen, God, you know, I have these bills that are due, and you said that you were going to take care of me. I don't really know how it's going to happen, but I need your help. So God needs to
yes.
direct me. You know, I take my hands off of it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm putting it into
mm-hmm.
your hands. I'm just asking
mm-hmm.
that you make it happen. You know, you
mm-hmm.
put him in remembrance. God, you said that you dressed all the things in the field. You took care of all the sparrows and all that. And that I, therefore, should not have to worry because you know what I have need of. Well, I'm coming to you. I'm your child and telling you, I have need. I have need.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting you in remembrance. And God is going to take care of it. Now, here's what you need to
yes.
understand. The process of you going to him and then in the midst of that, there could be some time. Look,
yes.
don't go running around asking people why you got away. I don't know. It's time. All right? People don't necessarily have the answers. People are going to come to you, and they're going to start telling you, well, the reason why you have to wait is because you didn't jump on one leg, because
yeah.
you didn't
yeah.
say this prayer,
yeah.
because you didn't
yes.
anoint with oil, because you didn't fast, because you didn't.
No.
People are going to put all kinds of conditions and criteria on why. All you need
mm-hmm.
to know is that God does not necessarily come when you want him to get there, but he is always on time. He
Amen.
Does not get held up. There are angels in the realm of the spirit that are fighting to make sure that what he wants to deliver to you gets delivered by UPS at the time that it's supposed
yes.
to get delivered. You are going to
mm-hmm.
get what you're supposed to have. If you have asked him, he has said yes. And he said, yes, that's it. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. It's going to happen. Rest assured it's going to happen, and it's going
Amen.
To come right on time. Maybe
exactly.
You need to slow up a little. Maybe there's always a reason why.
Yeah,
sometimes
he says,
we'll
I know
and
what's best for you.
Yes. And sometimes
yeah,
we'll
I
know and sometimes we won't. Sometimes you'll have to think about it after the fact, and you'll say, you know, it's a good thing he didn't give me that $1,000 back then, because if he had given me that $1,000, I would have done X, Y, and Z, and I sure as wouldn't have had it.
Exactly.
So I need to get over here. You know,
exactly.
You know, if he had given me that new car over there, I would have gotten that car. But, man, this one is so much better. You know, you
right.
never really know, but all you can know is that God has something perfect, and it is just for you. So how do we put our behavior out there to God in a way that shows that we have an expectation? I'm going to give you the same example that I always give because it makes sense to a baby. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
If you want to go to college and you say, I want to go to college, but I don't have the money. Okay. And then you go to God and you say, Lord, please give me the money for college because I want to go to college. I don't have the money. I guarantee you, you'll start seeing advertisements for school. You might even get
mm-hmm.
something in the mail about school. Your friends will be talking to you about school. You'll be dreaming about school. You can't even get away from social
mm-hmm.
school. You'll be driving past
mm-hmm.
school. I mean, you know, you'll have a need to actually be in school. All kinds of things that are just ridiculous start happening about school. Your mind is being conditioned. You're focused on school. You want to go. You taste it. You want to go so bad,
yeah.
you taste it. And you go back to God and you say, God, you haven't given me the money for school. I really want to go to school, but I can't go to school without the money. And you continue to see the signs. The people are talking
uh-huh.
about it. Your job says, hey, if you go to school, you're going to get a promotion and we'll give you more money. All these things
uh-huh.
happen, and you're like, God, when is the money going to come? And God says, when are you going to fill out an application?
Right. Right.
Put pressure. Show
Amen.
Him that you are serious about it. Sign up
yes.
for the next season. All right?
Yeah.
You want to go
sign
to school,
up.
Sign up for a summer class. You want to go to school,
mm-hmm.
register and get yourself registered for school in August. Worry about the money after you get accepted. Get accepted.
Yes. Yes.
Get accepted first, yeah. and then worry about
people,
the money. See, put
people,
pressure,
woo,
behave,
woo, yes,
behave
yes.
like you expected. The word says, without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Yes.
So the question
impossible.
I have for you is that if God is looking at you, just by looking at you, how does he know that you have faith? Can God see your faith?
Yes.
Faith is a work. It's action. Can
you walk in a walk.
See it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right?
You have
the
to,
second
yeah.
thing that causes us to stumble is that we do not ask, seek, or knock. We don't do it. We don't do it.
No, we
right?
don't.
The Bible
uh-uh.
says for us to ask, seek, and knock.
Yeah.
We wish, we hope.
Hope. Mm-hmm.
We think about things, we talk to folks, but we're not really asking, seeking, or knocking, okay?
Yes.
The word says
yes.
in Matthew 7:7, it says, ask, and it shall be given you, seek, and ye shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And guess what? I'm reading this in red. Jesus said this. All right?
Yeah,
Jesus
that's what
himself
I'm
said this.
Get out of my
okay.
head. That's what I was going to say. That's what I was going to say. Jesus said
so,
this. Okay?
Jesus said it. So we're not doing it. Go ahead. You were going to say something.
That is absolutely important. No. That is absolutely essential for us to speak out the things that we want. You have to speak it. God, as you were saying, that God spoke in the beginning. It's all about your vocabulary.
Yes. It
it's
is.
It's all about your vocabulary.
It's all about your vocabulary.
Yeah.
You know, what just came to me is shop the Bible like it's a grocery store.
Yes.
Okay? You go to a grocery store looking for what you want, and a lot of times we're very particular. We only want certain brands. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We only want certain brands.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get a coupon, you know, that's going to help us get it a little bit cheaper, a little bit, so that means sometimes we'll get it a little bit faster than what we would have gotten it because of price, then we're going to make sure that we meet all the qualifications of that particular coupon. What am I saying to you? There are sometimes certain things in the Word that you can't have until you meet the qualifications of the coupon. All right?
Yeah.
You have to trade the coupon in as tender. But God says, yeah, but, you know, you can't have this. You know, like the Bible talks about a lot of things with regard to us, but there are some things you have to be mature enough to receive. You can't just have everything in the Bible in your current condition. There are sometimes some conditions that you have to shift in order to receive a certain thing from God. All right?
Yes.
Don't ask why.
Yes.
Because why is not important. Just accept the fact. If you have to meet the condition, meet the condition, and then you can have what it is that you're looking for. But shop the Bible the way you shop the grocery store.
Yes.
Everything that you want is in the Bible.
Everything.
So what is the Word that's going to get it for you?
Mm-hmm.
See, the Word of God is your cash. What is the Word that's going to get it for you? Here's the truth. You may not have money, but if you have the Word of God, you got everything that you need. Your father owns all the money. Your father has the money at his disposal. Your father will not hold it back from you if you need it. So how do you put some pressure so that your father can release it into your hand?
Stop
the Bible like you're shopping the grocery store. And when you find the Word that represents what it is that you need, you just speak it. And you stand on it, and you do not give up. Be unrelenting and unapologetic about it. You do not give up. You hold on to that Word until it becomes true in your life. Because God's Word will not return void. And let's understand what that means. God's Word returns from where it came. It's like a boomerang. So if it came from you, it's coming back to you. All right?
Yes.
If it came from you, it's coming back to you. Speak His word.
Absolutely.
All right.
Speak it.
The next thing that causes us to really get tripped up and stumble with God, to be stuck, these two things have to do with attitude. Now, one is that we take on that whole woe is me attitude. Woe is me, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. Here's what I thought about. I thought about the man who was at the pool of Bethesda, like, you know, a trillion years.
And
he was lame and he was there. And what would happen at the pool of Bethesda is that an angel would come and trouble the water, meaning he would shake up the water. And whoever was the first person in the water, they would receive the healing that they needed. Now, this man laid there. Do you remember how many years it was? Was it 30 years? 27 years?
I don't.
It was a lot of years, though.
It was a lot of years. I don't want to quote it.
It was like a trillion years.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot of years.
I don't want to just throw a number out
there.
It was
a lot of years, okay?
It was a lot of years.
This man was at the pool of Bethesda, and Jesus shows up, all right? And he said, you know, Jesus is like, you know, basically, he's like, so what's going on? Like, you know, why are you here? Like, why are you not healed, basically? And he's like, oh, well, every time the angel comes, I don't have anybody to help me. What? You've been laying here for all these years, and you couldn't get yourself close enough to the water so that you would be first?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I think I'd be sitting in the water.
Yeah,
I would somebody to just put me in the water. I'm waiting in the water till the angel gets here. I want to be in the water when the angel gets here.
Amen.
However long that has to be, I'll just be in the water.
Yeah, I'll
you
be
know,
in the water.
There are some people who they don't enjoy their circumstances, but they are so familiar and comfortable with their circumstances. But they don't truly have an expectation of anything better.
Right.
They hope for something better. They think about something better. But they don't really believe that something better is going to truly happen in their life. And so
right.
they take on this, oh, this poor pitiful me attitude.
Yes,
there are
pity party.
Some people, yeah, pity party, exactly. You know, I don't have no time for that.
Yeah, right, I know.
There are some people who are just so comfortable in their situation, their circumstances, that even though they're not good, it's almost like they have a fear and a blindness towards what could be better. This is the reason why people stay in relationships that are horrible for them. And people stay in situations, you know, because they say, you know the saying that says, better the devil you know than the one you don't. The devil is a liar on that one.
Yeah,
the devil is a liar
on
that one. You know, there are a lot of people who feel, you know, I remember when I lived many, many, many years depressed. And I remember, when I was going through this period of trying to break myself out of it, I realized that one of the reasons why I was not able to break free, I couldn't receive my healing because I was afraid of being healed because I had been involved and intimate with depression for so long. That the idea of being without it was so foreign to me that I thought that the person that I would be so different that I didn't want to be that person. Because at the end of the day, I liked me. I just didn't like my depression. I didn't understand that I could have me without the depression. And I don't know who I'm speaking to, but there's people out there. You're listening to the sound of my voice, and you have been so intimate and involved in a situation that you have anxiety about coming out of it because you're not sure how you're going to survive and who you're going to be by coming out of it. But the word of the Lord says, come out from among them. Don't be with them. Be with me.
No.
Trust me. I
he
have
said,
to
I set
better
you
and the more for you.
Yeah.
I have
yes,
set
said
you
I,
aside. You are special.
Yes.
And you are not to be yoked with those unbelievers. That's what the word of the Lord says. So if you are comfortable living in lack, then you'll remain there. Don't get comfortable living in lack. We should not be living in lack as Christians. Refuse it. Fight against it. Don't allow yourself to have it. Amen?
No. Amen. Amen.
All right, the fourth one is being judgmental is another attitude. You know, we're so busy, looking at what everyone else is doing, what they're saying, what they're thinking, and all that kind of stuff, that we just forget to handle our own stuff. And again, if you go to Matthew 7, the beginning, and you read about that, you'll see we need to handle our own stuff. We're so busy looking at what's wrong in someone else's yard that we're looking at, you know, we can't even see our own. Or either we think that their lawn is so beautiful and ours is so jacked up that we can't see the beauty of our own stuff because we're looking over here at the beauty of theirs. It's fine to appreciate the beauty around you, but don't forget that there's beauty in your situation as well. Amen?
Yeah, amen. I know we're running out of time, but that's the definition of covenant. When it says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, property, anything. You know, that when you start looking at other people's stuff, that's what you're doing. God says, don't do that.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
It's going to be hard for you to have something if you are desiring something that belongs to someone else. It's fine to appreciate it. It's fine to say, you know what? I'm so grateful for the way you're living. I'm so grateful to be able to see it and witness it and have this vision because now I can aspire to something different. You know, that's fine. But when you literally want what they have, want to take it from them, now that is coveting, and God does not want us to have that. Amen?
No. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And being judgmental. No. None of that stuff. Another thing, self-righteousness. Oh, I did this. I did that. I'm the best. You know, any goodness is not due to us or anything that we've done or accomplished. It's because our God is righteous. We haven't earned anything. You didn't do anything without God. Without God, you would be nothing. Without him, you wouldn't accomplish anything.
Yes.
Without him, you wouldn't know anything. Without him, you wouldn't have the opportunities that you have. It is not about you. You haven't done anything. You are not that great. He is. So if anything, it is the anointing in you that is great.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I often tell people, you know, I get in trouble all the time, and it's okay. I've grown to understand it and accept it.
I know you did. Kay Horvath at JourneyHomeMinistries.org.
I know. Send
okay.
it to me, right?
Send it to directly to her. Okay, go ahead.
but here's the truth. You know, a lot of people encounter me, and I can say this. I want to say it in this way. One of the things that I pray for, my girlfriend says, girl, will you please stop praying that because you don't need any more. But I pray for compassion and kindness. I pray that I develop the compassion of Christ in me. I really do. I love people. I'm sensitive to people. And I just pray that God helps me to have the compassion of Christ in me.
Right.
What happens is that people encounter me, and people, you know, they get the wrong impression, and they think that I think that I'm better. You know, they think that, you know, and I'm like, why do people think that about me? I'm like, and, you know, like, is it my face? Like, do I walk around with this attitude? No, you know what I realized?
Yeah.
I realized that it's not me. It's the anointing on my life. They're encountering the anointing, and they're thinking that it's me. And so they have this expectation, and they should because it's the anointing, but have the expectation of the anointing, not on me, okay? And so I often get this with people. I sit down next to people, and I start talking to them, and, you know, just, you know, we end up having a really good conversation many times, and they say, you know, you're really nice. And it makes me kind of, what? You know, I remember someone that was my manager, who really didn't have the time of day for me. And then after a period of time and, you know, different people left the department, kind of got to the point where they kind of had to deal with me. And one day this girl sat in her office and she was watching me deal with people. And we were alone in the office. She goes, Kim, you know, you're really a nice person. And I was like, really? So what did you think about me before? You know, and I just laughed. Like, I really meant it, but I laughed. And, you know, it's like, man, I really took you the wrong way. And so let's just be very careful. You know, that whole self-righteousness, no, don't be self-righteous. The anointing on you can be strong and great, and trust me, it is so great that people will already experience you in your greatness. And what's awesome about that is that you don't even know that you're that great, but everyone around you will know that you're that great. And your greatness, that greatness that you carry, will make room for you. It will make room for you. Trust me, there are things that have happened in my life with Frank and I. You know, when we go places, there are things that happen. And it's like, did that just happen? You know, did they really just sit us in the front row at this event? Like, why did they do that?
Yeah.
It's not us.
Yeah.
It's the anointing on us. Amen?
Amen.
All right. We have a few more minutes.
11 minutes.
So number six. Number six, one of the things that causes us to stumble, to be a stumbling block to us, is that we have heart conditions, all right? We have a lack of forgiveness, okay?
Mm.
We do not forgive. And we'll say, I'm not ready yet. I don't want to do that. Okay, listen, let me tell you something. Forgiveness is not by happenstance. It doesn't happen over time. It is a deliberate, intentional thing that you do on purpose. You set out to forgive somebody. You choose to be in wrath or in a place of forgiveness. You choose it. You can't say, in time, I'll forgive them. All you're saying is, I will choose to forgive them later on. But right now,
and
I'm not at that point.
I have to say this. When people say, I forgive you, but I won't forget, that doesn't count.
No, because you know what? Here's the thing. You know, Because when you say that, you're saying it in a way that says, I forgive you, but I'm not going to forget, and therefore I'm going to treat you a certain way and limit my relationship because I'm not going to forget. Here's the reality.
Right.
If it's something that really hurt you, you're not going to forget it anyway. But you don't have to hold on to the hurt. And truthfully, if you let go of the hurt, even when you remember the situation, it won't have that sting anymore, and it will be okay.
Yes.
You see, there are things that can happen in your life that, yeah, you can remember them, but they won't hold that power over you anymore because you let go.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then God can truly heal you and the other person and all the people involved in that situation. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
As the Bible talks about forgiveness, it's really for us. And if we don't, you know, it means that we're choosing to hold on to bitterness and grudges, and God does not want that for us. Number seven.
Exactly.
We stumble because of fear. All right? And 2 Timothy 1 and 7, we all know what it says. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of love,
mm-hmm.
right? And of a sound mind. All right? There's a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. Go back and read that the right way. There is a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind.
Mm-hmm.
And they defeat the spirit of fear. God did not give us a spirit of fear. What is the spirit of fear? The spirit of fear is something that causes you to be so afraid of something that it alters your way of existence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I'm not talking about awe and respect. All right?
No.
If you are afraid to cook on a gas stove because you're afraid of fire, that's a spirit of fear.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
If you're afraid to have candles in the house because you believe that, you know, the house is going to burn down as a result, that is the spirit of fear.
Yes, so
then. You have to have candles in your house in order to prove that you don't have it. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if your only reason for not having it is because you think that the flame is just going to jump off the candle and start a fire, that's another situation. Now, if you have little ones who are running around the house, well, it might be wise for you not to have candles in the house.
Right, exactly.
That might be wise.
Exactly.
But if you think that it's just going to jump from here to...
No.
So don't be afraid. Being afraid stops you in your tracks. All right?
Yes, it does.
Fear, and the other thing is that fear has many relatives. Okay?
Yeah.
And we can choose to live as children of God, or we can live with, you know, Nene in it. All right? Nene in him is fear and frustration and stress and high blood pressure and worry and strife, anger, all that stuff. They're all related. They're all related.
Yes, sir.
God does not want us to have that. It doesn't want to. And fear, as a result of all of its relatives, causes physical ailments in our body. It also causes depression. Because all those ailments make up depression. Anxiety, worry, sadness, anger, all of that is depression, especially anger. A lot of people don't know they think depression is just sadness. No. Depression is anger turned inward. It means you are angry and you haven't found a way to get it out. And now, as a result, you're unhappy and sad.
Right.
Okay? So don't give in to fear. Accept the spirit of love, accept the spirit of power, and definitely the spirit of a sound mind. All right, number eight, we have a lack of identity. We have
that's a good one.
Idea who we are, and this is the reason we stumble. We forget that the Bible says that we are joint heirs with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You forget that.
That gave me a chill.
We forget that. We are joint heirs. All right?
Heirs.
We have
inheritance.
The same exact right. Look, God did not say that you are sisters and brothers and he's the oldest receiving the largest portion.
Mm-hmm.
No. Joint heirs. Equal portion, equal equality, joint heirs with Christ. And Jesus said that we're able to do more than what he did because he's going to the Father to intercede on our behalf while we're here living. Think about this. All right? Think about this because Jesus is now spirit. He's not man in the body. But he can be in multiple places. The Holy Spirit is where? Everywhere, at all times. So,
yes.
While the Spirit of God has taken up residence in you and is living with you, the Spirit of God is also at the right hand of the Father interceding on your behalf. The Spirit of God is also out in the world causing favor to come your way. How can you lose?
Man, we can't. You can't.
Can
I need
lose?
To make an announcement right now. We're going to continue all of the steps and go into recording. So for those who are listening live, you can always listen to the second half of the show as soon as we go off the air. Go right ahead.
Okay.
Take a breath.
Right,
and let's just go.
So we can't lose. We have no idea who we really are. If you could just grasp the concept that you as a Christian have God living inside of you, and then you have Jesus right there at the cross interceding on your behalf, and then you have the Holy Spirit out in the world causing favor to open doors that man can't close and closing doors that have no business being open and causing favor to come your way and lighting up and directing your path, all these things going on simultaneously, even while you're sleeping. Do you understand who you are?
Yeah.
Do you understand who you are? No wonder the enemy wants to come after you.
Yes.
And on top of that, he has angels fighting your battles for you. How do I know that?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're still alive. Listen, Satan is trying to take you out.
Yes.
Do you understand who you are? He would take you out if he could, but he can't.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the hedge of protection around you and the fact that all these forces are working on your behalf.
He doesn't, you know, he's not here for those who don't believe. You know, he's here for the believers. Yeah, he's here. So they're just not over there having a party and the devil's over there. He wants you to denounce God.
Yes,
and he's going to put you through hell until you do. And as believers, we stand on his word, and we never do that. Go right ahead.
Absolutely. And what the Spirit just reminded me, oh, my gosh. Okay, it's going to have to click in my mind again because I just forgot. There's something that I have to tell you again. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. So the other thing is in the process of going through stuff, because, again, we go through stuff. This is the reason why when we go through stuff, we can go through it with joy. See, please understand that those who are not in Christ or those who are new in Christ or those who are struggling in Christ are watching how others in Christ go through. And so if you are going through in Christ, you should be able to still have joy in the midst of what you're going through because you know that God is on your side working it out. You know that it's a temporary situation. You know, you know that. You know that you're going to come through this and be on the other side. And if you know nothing else, you know that God is with you in the midst of you going through. You're not alone.
Yes.
You are not alone. My sister, my brother, you are not alone. So thanks be to God. He causes us to triumph every time. So go through with joy. Go through with joy. Number nine. The reason why we stumble, the reason why we fall, the reason why we can't get past, can't get that five last pounds, can't get past that next hurdle that we're trying to get through in our plans. We can't get that vision to come to pass. We keep getting to this certain point and just keep getting knocked back down because we have other gods. We have other gods.
Ooh.
We allow so many other things to be more important than the presence of God in our lives. We really do. We're not making room for God to be first and center and foremost doing it.
Yes.
Oh, my brother, my sister, I encourage you to give God time. I encourage you to open up your eyes in the morning and say, thank you, God, for another day, another opportunity to receive your favor. I encourage you to get in the shower. There's no place else while you're getting dressed in the morning and say, thank you, God, for reminding me of who I am and how great I am in this world. And I say, Lord, I agree with you that your favor is upon my life. And good things are going to happen to me today. And I'm looking for them. I'm expecting them to happen. I have great expectancy, and I'm filled with joy. I encourage you to read your Bible and to get excited about the Word. I encourage you to get a prayer partner, somebody that will stand with you and just pray. And just,
right.
just if nothing else, just pray, Father, we thank you. Father, we're excited by you. Father, we adore you. Father, you are so good. Father, we have so many blessings, so many things that we can bless you for the breath that we breathe, for that we have within us, for the air that we breathe, for the shoes on our feet, for the clothes on our back. Father, I thank you for the job that I have or the one that I don't. You know, thank you, God, for the material things that I have. Thank you. There are so many things that we could be so grateful for. Do you know that you can praise yourself into a successful situation? Do you know that your praise will confuse the enemy and cause all the blessings to come flooding into your life right now?
Flooding. The kingdom.
Flooding. I'm being reminded of, if you've ever saw, go ahead, you want to say something?
No. I was going back to the flooding, just raining on me, you know. I just.
Yes.
Went through a situation where I had to wait patiently on the Lord, and when He delivered, it was a drain. He delivered. He showed up and showed out, and you know,
in
I just want to tell
though,
people
publicly.
Publicly. It's you know, let everyone know when we're used to things going fast, but you're not going to get a tracking number from God. So you can track where you're blessed. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. No, it's not UPS.
Yes.
You don't know where it's at. You don't know where it's at. You don't know where it is, but it's not lost. That's the thing you have to understand. It's not lost.
Yes.
It's not
absolutely.
Lost. God has reminded me of one of my favorite movies, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the cartoon. And remember when the Grinch came and he took everything? He took all of their entire Christmas celebration, and they all still went and outside and just sang and celebrated anyway. And he was just amazed, and it caused his heart to explode. You know, let me tell you, that will confound the enemy. It really will.
Yes.
Learn to be grateful and to have praise for it all. For it all. In good times and not so good times. Because I don't want to say bad times. I just want to say not so good times, those times that are struggling. Because let me tell you about those not so good times. Those not so good times were allowed to set you, they were a setup for you. These not so good times are an opportunity for you to stand up and show that you are a man or a woman of God.
Right.
These not so good times are your opportunity to move to the next level, to the next dimension. That's what these not so good times are for. So thank you, God, for the not so good times. I'm praising you because it means that you're trusting me with a new assignment. You're trusting me with a newer level. You're trusting me with a new anointing. You're trusting me. Thank you, Jesus, for that. See, you can turn anything into a good time.
Yes, you can.
You can turn anything into a good time. You know,
stop
allowing things to be so big in your life. The Word of God says, you know, don't allow things to exalt themselves to be higher than God. That means, please, don't make things bigger than what God is in your life. They're not that big. In fact, if you were able to see from God's perspective, you would truly see how insignificant these things were.
Yeah, he's like running the whole world.
Yes.
Oh, simultaneously while listening to us whine about our rent.
Yes.
And he's like, I need faith. I need faith. This is currency of heaven. You want to get something from God? Give him faith. That's what you have to give him.
Yes, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. So, don't have other gods. Don't make other things more important. Amen?
Exactly.
And
Amen.
The tenth and the last thing that I want to share with you tonight is what gets, and by the way, these are not in any particular order. Whichever one is yours, mm-hmm. take it and run with it. Amen? So,
amen. Exactly.
And the last thing that I want to talk about tonight, now there are other things, but this is the last thing that the Spirit gave me for tonight, is that we stumble. We don't make it past that goal point because of a lack of follow-through. Sometimes
right.
we give up too quickly. Sometimes we give up and give in too easily,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's because we're not managing our time or our resources very well.
Right.
Sometimes it's because we're just wasting a lot. You know, God
mm-hmm.
has given us to put up for a rainy day, and instead we act like, you know, it's a windfall, and then we use it, and then the rainy day comes, and we're like wondering, God, what happened? I'm with y'all. He's like, I gave it to you last week. But you didn't hold on
yeah.
to it. I gave it to you last
you
month. I gave it to you
yes.
6 months ago, but you didn't hold on to it. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
amen.
So now that season is dry. You know, when you think about, who was it? Joseph? Yeah, Joseph was
mm-hmm.
the one whose brothers gave him over
yes.
to Egypt.
Yes, yes.
Joseph the dreamer. Joseph the one who mm-hmm. could interpret dreams. And remember,
mm-hmm.
you know, the dream that the Pharaoh was having had to do with the fact that they were going to have, you know, 7 years of good and plenty and 7 years of drought. And so
mm-hmm.
Joseph says, so here's what you do. This is what he tells Pharaoh. He says, here's what you do. In these years of the plenty, we're going to take extra and we're going to store it up for those 7 years of drought. And sure enough,
mm-hmm.
they took the excess. They lived very comfortably during their years of excess. But they had excess.
Mm-hmm.
And they stored it up for the years that came when there was not anything to be had. And not only
mm-hmm.
were they able to have, but they were able to trade with other people and become even wealthier of a nation than what they already were.
Look at God.
You see, God
mm-hmm.
wants to show you how to build up your storehouses. Do you understand that God is showing us not only how to acquire wealth, but how to be wealthy, and that God
mm-hmm.
has an intention for us to lay up and to have resources and wealth that we leave for our children and our children's children? It's not
mm-hmm.
just about us. It's not just about our
no.
individual lives, but for the generations to come. God is trying to get us to a place where we have storehouses right here that we don't need to touch. So if we would just
right.
get a hold of his master plan, amen?
Right.
And,
amen.
You know, we would be able to do that. But we first have to be committed to following through. Here's the thing that I know. I know that the Holy Spirit is free, but the Holy Spirit is not cheap. And if you want a great amount of the Holy Spirit, it is going to cost you. It's going to cost
yes,
you
is.
In ways that you didn't expect. You're going to be stretched. You know, you're going to have
mm-hmm.
to not do things that a lot of people in the world are able to do. You're going to
mm-hmm.
have to spend time in the Word. You're going to be praying. You're going to be doing all kinds of things. You're going to be sowing and sowing. And, you know, you're going to have to be controlling your temper and your emotions. Like, you know, depending upon how
yes.
much of the Holy Spirit
yes.
you really want will depend upon
yes.
how much you have to do in order to get it. Amen?
Right.
Because with
amen.
Every level of the platform that God gives you, there's an expectation of the life that you are living. I'm not saying that you're going to be perfect. But in order for you to be able to receive freely from the table that you are at, you have to have earned your place at the table, so to speak.
Mm.
Meaning that
amen.
God has to believe that you are mature enough to handle it so that you don't hurt yourself and the people around you. Amen? So,
amen.
So just know that follow through is going to cost you. If you have a great vision for your life, something you're trying to accomplish, you have to follow through. You have to keep pressing until it happens. All right? You have to keep praying until it happens. You
right.
have to keep believing until it happens. You have to keep sowing until it happens. You have to just keep on doing. You have to keep getting
yeah.
up until it happens. You know,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know
mm-hmm.
what it is that you're going to be called to have to do until it happens, but God knows. Keep your relationship with him first and watch
right.
what he does and how he instructs you. If you can just grab hold of one or two ideas that we talked about on this evening and you carry them through the next 6 months, I can guarantee you that you're going to move further in the plan that you had, the vision that you expected, than what you ever thought that you really would be able to accomplish. Because these are the things that all of us get tripped up
mm-hmm.
on.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
absolutely.
Not only the least of us, but the greatest of us all. We get tripped up on all of these things, all of them. And
mm-hmm.
it's okay. You know, we're human. It's okay. But just don't live in that lower situation. Always
right.
have an expectation for more and be willing to give up and come up a little higher. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Woo! That was a powerful word.
I told you
and
it was
I
hot off the presses.
It's hot. It was hot off the presses, all right. That was hot now, and you're seeing God in action, speaking through one of his servants. And it was a wonderful teaching. I encourage everyone to pass this link on to someone that you think might benefit from what we talked about tonight. Also, if you have any questions or concerns, I want to follow up on what we say. You know, the email address is khorvath, HORVATH, at journeyhomeministries.org. You can email her, and she will respond and clarify any points that you might have. Well, my sister, we are on again on July the 14th.
Yes.
July the 14th, okay?
Yes, I'm excited.
Yes, I'm excited too. And I enjoyed your teaching tonight. Continue to stay strong. Continue to stay in the Word. And may God keep and bless you.
God bless
Amen.
You. You do the same.
Okay. All right. We're going to roll out of here like we always roll out of here with How Great Thou Art. And I will see you next month, Pastor Horvath.
All right. God bless you. You take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mom!